This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
We are back here on the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show is coming up next, 9 to 11, right here on the Fan. Right now, though, we are being joined by my good friend, Sarah Kelleher. You can find her on the Pack-A-Day podcast. You can find her on social media at Sarah Kelleher 4. Sarah, it's been far too long. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm good, Andy. Thanks for having me. This is always a ton of fun.
Yeah, I'm always thrilled when you're on the show. Always great stuff when we get to break down Packers with you. So let's kick things off right away. Actually, before we jump into anything too crazy, I know you obviously, you know, from a Pack-A-Day standpoint, you kind of take draft season off a little bit. You kind of just get to sit back, relax a little bit more, kind of enjoy the show. So as you just had the opportunity to maybe be less of an analyst and a little bit more of a fan, how did you get to view the draft and how was your draft experience?
Yeah, my draft experience was awesome. It truly was a total fan experience, which was great. I just first night, just watched it from home on Thursday, which was absolutely electric with the Matthew Golden pick. Just super. I mean, obviously it looked great there to be there in person, but was really exciting even to just watch it on TV. And second night, went to a sports bar near where I live and watched it with some friends and had a ton of fun doing that. So it was great just to kind of sit back, relax, and thought that Green Bay did a phenomenal job with the showmanship of the draft and honoring the tradition of the Packers and the rich history of the franchise. And so it really kind of warmed my heart to see so many people go and enjoy Green Bay and love it the way that so many of us do, and just glad that people could see how special of a place that is.
Yeah, it was really cool to see. And just, you know, as somebody who has, you know, again, been raised in Green Bay since I was 2 weeks old, to kind of see Green Bay shine in that light was absolutely amazing. All right, so now I know you got to have your time where you got to be a fan, but I'm now forcing you to put your analyst hat back on, Sarah. So we've had basically the entire offseason, and we've now seen what free agents Green Bay brought in. They brought in a couple new coaches, specifically a new defensive line coach. They, of course, add a whole draft class basically 2 weeks ago now. What are you most excited about from this Packers offseason that as we start heading into the actual, you know, training camp and preseason, that sort of aspect of it, what are you most excited about from this offseason?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think the Packers have this great wave of momentum that they're riding a little bit right now. You know, last season in 2023-2024, the Packers ended on this high of possibilities. Yes, they lost in the playoffs, but that Cowboys win in Dallas really made people think, you know, what could this team be? And then the fans, so many of us rode that high through offseason into week one when Green Bay was in Brazil. And the end of this past season was kind of the opposite. It felt like Green Bay sort of skidded to the end, three straight losses at the end of the year, and it was just kind of eh. And then they have this great draft environment. There just seems like there's so much energy now around the team, made some good picks. And so it just feels like now there's a new energy around the Packers, and that, once again, we're excited about where they're going, even though maybe they didn't end the season as well as we would have hoped. And so I'm just excited about now what they're building in the future. I think what intrigues me the most and kind of what I'm most excited about to see how it shakes out is the recent addition of Isaiah Simmons at linebacker. I mean, that was something that I think was a lot of just fan fiction online for a little bit. And then all of a sudden it was like, wait, no, Packers players are tweeting, or he's tweeting the cheese emoji, and Packers players are, you know, tweeting and dropping hints about this. And then it seems like he's talking to the team, and there you go, Packers sign him. So I think that'll just be an interesting addition. He's a guy that, you know, he hasn't been on the best team in the past, but I think in the right environment and in Halfley's scheme could be really dangerous. So I was really excited to see that after such a great draft and the environment and making some good picks and addressing positions of need, that then that also happened as well. And it just, it felt like there was a domino effect of really good things happening when it was pretty quiet in the offseason at first.
Yeah, one of the things that I liked that we found out, you know, from one of the Matt LaFleur press conferences was he was asked if they, or maybe it was good, I forget which one it was. No, it was Matt. So Matt was asked if, like, hey, did you go to Xavier McKinney and ask him about Isaiah Simmons and get a, you know, sort of any sort of feedback? And he's like, we did. Yep. He's like, he gave two thumbs up, and he said he's a great teammate, great locker room guy, and that, you know, can go a long way in whether or not you want to sign a guy. So obviously in this case, you know, Xavier McKinney, who is in a leadership role on the team, gave him a huge vote of confidence and he said, bring him in. And I know Green Bay brought him in, and listen, if McKinney gives him a vote of confidence, then I'm even more excited about the transaction.
Yep.
As far as, like, you brought up an interesting point. The New York Giants, when Isaiah Simmons is on the team, 3-14 last year. And then before that, they were, what, 6-11? And the Arizona Cardinals, I was just looking at his three seasons there, 4-13. He did have an 11-6 season in 2021, and then 8-8 the year before that. So he's only been on one quote-unquote winning team, an 11-6 team, three consecutive really rough teams that he's been on. He's never won a playoff game in his career. So sometimes, to your point, like, hey, you get this player that just hasn't maybe been the player that you expected him to be, and they're just in poor situations. Maybe, just maybe, coming to Green Bay can unlock Isaiah Simmons a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. I think so many of us feel that way, and we've seen it shake out that way with other players before. I mean, obviously, Josh Jacobs had a great career before he came over to the Packers, but he was just on a podcast a couple of days ago talking about how when you arrive in Green Bay and you're in that environment, that it's just different, and it pushes you in a different way than it had in his earlier career. So I think that a guy like Simmons, if he just is around McKinney and around the tradition of the Packers, it could make for some really great things.
No, I think so too. I'm excited about that as well. We're being joined by Sarah Kelleher, Packaday Podcast. You can find her on social media at Sarah Kelleher 4. All right, Sarah, of course, you know, the big piece of this offseason is, of course, Jordan Love going into his third season as a starting quarterback in Green Bay. Last year, you had a litany of injuries, including the MCL injury to start the year. Then he had the groin injury. Then he had the thumb injury. Just never quite felt like he was himself at any point this past year. Assuming he is healthy through the hopefully entirety of this year, this feels like a really important year for Jordan as we sort of get this true feel of who he is as the legitimate starter in Green Bay. What are your expectations for Jordan, and maybe what are your hopes for Jordan as we go into this third year as a starter with him?
Yeah, I mean, you said it. This is his biggest test yet. And, you know, I think there was a lot of hype going into last year, and rightfully so. He exceeded expectations in year one as a starter. But, yeah, it was just a constant uphill battle with him with injuries. But there were still moments where you saw flashes of what all of us thought Jordan Love could be. So I think the biggest thing is consistency. You know, if he's healthy this season, he has to show consistency. We have to see that Jordan Love that we saw during that run the second half of 2023 and in some of those bright moments this past season. But that version of him needs to show up every week, not just here and there or, you know, on a drive and then stalls a few drives and then there's a good drive. You know, the biggest thing for him is consistency. I think the Packers have set him up in a great position, you know, adding some key pieces now in the draft. You have a great coaching staff around you that's very young, unique when it comes to building your offense. And they paid you. So now it's time to be in that upper tier of quarterbacks in the league each and every single week. And I think that's just the biggest thing that I'm hoping for and looking for Jordan Love this year.
Yeah, I think that's, again, what I'm most excited about is just to kind of get those we get those kind of those expectations set of like what is Jordan Love in a healthy season with an offense that has all these weapons now. I'm so excited for it. I think he's going to go out and crush it, but I think it is a very interesting storyline as we go into this season. And really, if you kind of look at the NFC North, Sarah, three very interesting quarterback situations. I think you kind of know what Jared Goff is in Detroit, although I am excited or sort of interested to see what that looks like without Ben Johnson. And then you've got Jordan Love. Again, is it closer to the end of 2023, or was last year kind of more just the inconsistencies that we're going to continue to see with Jordan? And then, of course, Caleb Williams, former first-round pick in Chicago. What does he look like in this Ben Johnson offense? Did not look like a premium quarterback a season ago by any stretch. And then you've got J.J. McCarthy taking over in Minnesota. There's been a lot of praise heaped on him as of late. And I think that just in general, this NFC North has a lot of really intriguing storylines. What's most interesting to you about where this NFC North stands right now?
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, everything that's happening in the NFC North continues to blow my mind. I think one thing that sticks out to me is that the Packers-Bears rivalry, it's kind of refreshed in a different way. You know, for a while, it was just the Packers and the Vikings, and then the Lions, the last few years, entered into the mix. And then the Bears were always just kind of hanging in the balance. And now, you know, the Bears have made some good moves and added some players. Ben Johnson was a good hire for them and has seemingly started this one-sided beef with Matt LaFleur. So I'm just kind of curious to see how that rivalry continues to play out. And I think that there's some true hatred between some of these teams, which we haven't felt in a bit. You know, it's kind of seemed like big brother, little brother, and now it seems like, you know, the playing field is a little more level and that there's some bad blood between these teams. And I'm all for that. As somebody who's watching the game and watching football for entertainment, I love the rivalries that are forming in the NFC North, and just am really curious to see how it plays out. I mean, especially when you have two head coaches who all offseason have been on podcasts and interviews talking about this weird beef and comments that they've made about each other. So I'm excited. It seems like the Packers are still living a little bit rent-free in the Bears' heads, but I'm just curious to see if that translates onto the field at all.
Yeah, which you love to see. And those are just such weird cringe comments from Ben Johnson. We'll see how that plays out through the course of this year. I'm sure Green Bay is looking to get that win back that they, you know, unfortunately had that loss at the end of last year in a game that was so bizarre and didn't really matter. And yada, yada, yada. Jordan gets hurt. Christian gets hurt. It was just a weird game. I'm sure Green Bay wants that one back. But I do feel like there is, you know, all this intensity in the NFC North. You have three teams at the top in Detroit, Green Bay, Minnesota that feel like they are, you know, worthy of winning the NFC North. And, you know, the difference between winning the North and being potentially the one or two seed and losing, or, you know, coming in second in the North and being potentially like the fifth or sixth seed is massive. All three of these teams were expected to do well in the playoffs a season ago. They didn't win any playoff games collectively in the North. And now you have Chicago with a new head coach and Ben Johnson coming in, and there's a lot of expectations for him. So I think there's just, you know, you can tell the intensity and how every single one of those games are going to matter so much in the seeding of the NFC North. And, you know, the difference between first and third is massive. And it could be the difference between, again, being, you know, first or second in the entire conference going into the playoffs, or, you know, potentially even missing out on the playoffs. That's how wild I think this thing is. So should be a very fun season in the North. We're being joined by Sarah Kelleher, Packaday Podcast. You can find her on social media at Sarah Kelleher for, and of course, you're listening to the Packaday Radio Show right here on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. All right, I want to ask you a couple more, you know, positive-leaning questions, and then we'll get to one maybe you're a little bit more anxious about. Let's start with the player that you're maybe most excited to see step up in 2025, or that you think can maybe take a significant step this upcoming season.
Yeah, it's not necessarily a player that I think would be the first person to come to people's mind, but they had a disappointing year last year, and that was Kenny Clark. Really disappointing year in 2024, and I think they have to step up in 2025. He's had so many good years, and is still so young, honestly, even though he's the most tenured player on the roster. But the Packers need more from him. I'm hoping that this past year was just an outlier and that he'll be back to the Clark that we know and love this season and can really make an impact. But we'll see. I mean, there's a possibility it could be a Halfley thing and he just doesn't fit into that 4-3 scheme. But I think this year will be super telling for him. You know, if it's another year where he only has one sack and we're almost at the end of the year, or, you know, there were games where you would just sometimes forget that he was there. That's somebody that I'm hoping can watch the tape, work with the coaching staff, and then step back up and just exceed expectations in 2025. I mean, he is such a vocal leader in the locker room. The guys love him, but that has to translate onto the field as well. So I'm really hoping that he's one that not necessarily takes a leap because we know what he's capable of, but it's just back to the Kenny Clark that we know and able to be a true difference maker on the defense.
I think one of the things that was really interesting about the defense last year, for the most part, there's a couple exceptions here, but for the most part, the players that seemed to be extremely comfortable in the Jeff Hafley defense were the ones that were brought in for the Jeff Hafley defense. The Xavier McKinneys, the Edgerrin Coopers, the Javon Bullards, the Evan Williams, etc. Those are the players that felt very comfortable in it, the ones that were like playing in it and were signed for it. And the ones that were kind of carryover from either the Mike Pettine in the case of Kenny Clark or the Joe Barry eras, those were the ones that seemed to have a little bit of a tougher time. And I think Kenny Clark was a big example of that. I'm hoping that in year two, a lot of these guys feel a lot more comfortable in that Jeff Hafley system and in that scheme and can maybe take even another step. And it was still a top eight defense in pretty much every category, no matter what way you look at it. And if all of a sudden you get a much better Kenny Clark, look out, that can make a huge impact in 2025. That's kind of the player that you're looking to step up. What about a draft pick that you're most excited about?
I'm most excited about Baron Sorrell. One, for the value. You know, this is probably a dude that should have been a day two guy in the top 100, and they get him on day three. And then it also seems like he's going to be one of those guys that just, you know, as we love to say, carries the G. Matt LaFleur already said when he was talking about the draft class that Sorrell's the type of player that's a culture changer, and this also fits a position of need at edge for the Packers. So I love everything about it. The moment he had with his family and the Packers fans being there in Green Bay, it was just awesome. And so I think the sky's the limit for him on and off the field, and just can't wait to see what he does in Green Bay.
That's a great kind of segue into my next question. Do you believe now that with Sorrell and Colin Oliver and these guys, did Green Bay do enough to help their pass rush this offseason, or is it still a little bit of a concern for you?
I think it's still a little bit of a concern right now. I think they did enough to help the pass rush in the future, but I'm not sure they did enough to help it right now. You know, you make several different additions late in the draft, like Sorrell, Oliver, a couple other guys, but all of those are only ascending players right now. There's really no guarantee that they're all going to shake out, maybe one to two if they do, but do they make an immediate impact their rookie year? I'm not sure. I could see where Sorrell really develops into a great player in the future, but they might not be able to get everything out of him right away, maybe not until year two or even three. So I think that the evolution of this position group for the Packers is great, and that in the future it'll be there, in the near future. But this season, I'm not so sure. I'm still a little nervous about it.
No, that's totally fair. And then as we kind of go into that, as we look at this team as a whole, they've done a lot of positive things to kind of help the roster out and put them in a better position. But what are you most nervous about going into this offseason, or the remainder of this offseason and into the 2025-2026 year?
Yeah, I have two things. One, I'm just kind of curious to see how the wide receiver room shakes out. And I think that I'm not saying this is going to happen, but I think there's some potential for a little bit of drama. And sometimes it's a good thing to have competition within the building, but you know, there was guys who were upset that comments were made that they needed to get a number one wide receiver. Then they draft two guys pretty early in the draft. They take that first round wide receiver for the first time in decades. And then there's, you know, Christian Watson is injured and not going to be able to play most of the season. So I think it could get a little spicy in the wide receiver room, and that there could potentially be some drama, but it could be all for this in the spirit of competition. And at the end of the day, I think that's good, and that if they can push each other to be better, then great.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, hopefully that there is that, like, you know, competition that drives them, and hopefully, you know, Matt LaFleur kind of has his pulse on it. They've done a pretty good job of that, but hopefully they can avoid the drama. But sorry, go ahead. What was your second one?
No, I was just going to say that one other thing that makes me a little nervous, uneasy, is just what the heck's happening with Jaire Alexander. You know, one moment it's that, last time I was on here with you and we talked, we both were in agreement that he's probably played his last snap as a Packer. And now this week, it's totally shifted. It seems like he and Green Bay may work something out. And the reason it just makes me a little nervous is, how did we go from seemingly things that were not good to now at least civil enough that both parties want to be in Green Bay, want him back? So it's just kind of crazy to me how quickly that things shifted there. And it does make me a little nervous, because where's the truth? We may never know.
somewhere in the middle per usual. Yeah. And maybe once this is all said and done, we get a closer look at exactly what the Jair offseason of 2025 was all about and how this thing swung in a million different directions seemingly. But maybe it was much ado about nothing all along, or maybe this just did swing in a couple different ways. I kind of feel like both were understanding that a divorce was the best case scenario until they realized that, like, hey, you know, there's not much out there. Maybe the grass wasn't greener for Jair. There wasn't a ton of teams that were calling, offering a bunch of money and those sort of things. And then for the Packers, that they weren't getting the trade value that they were hoping for in return. And at the end of the day, they both are just like, you know what? It just kind of makes sense for both of us just to kind of stick this out one more year, play well together. I wonder if they almost kind of nuke the contract next year for Jair to make him a free agent next year. There's a lot of different things that they could do here, but I almost wonder if, like, well, they both felt like a divorce is going to, you know, be an inevitability. It just didn't make sense in 2025, and that's why they're kind of getting back together for one last ride, as we have liked to call other things in the past in Green Bay. So, or last dance, I should say. Sarah, thank you so much for everything. Always appreciate you a ton. I know, obviously, you're back in the Pack a Day podcast, but anything else you want to plug on the way out?
No, that's it. I mean, if you're not listening to the Pack a Day podcast, what are you doing? You got to start listening. We have a great team every single day that delivers great content, great insights about the Packers. So always happy to share the love with everybody involved in that. And thank you to Andy for everything that you're doing and allowing me to be a part of it and chat with you this morning on the show.
Yeah, as always, it's always great having you on. We'll definitely do it again soon in the near future. Sarah Kelleher 4 on social media, correct?
Yep, that's correct.
All right, go follow her on social media at Sarah Kelleher 4. She's absolutely amazing. You're not going to want to miss anything.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
She's putting out there. Sarah, we'll do this again soon. Thanks so much for your time and enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, Andy. You too.
You bet. Thank you so much. That is, again, Sarah Kelleher. Find her on social media at Sarah Kelleher 4. And on the Wednesday episodes of the Pack-A-Day podcast, always appreciate her insights. We'll have her on again very, very soon. That's going to do it for this segment. We're going to get back to Taylor Algersma in just a moment. So don't go anywhere. This is the Pack-A-Day radio show.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.